Chapter 8, Louisiana from Colony to Territory to State. Father Antonio Sedeia was born in Spain and came to Louisiana in 1781. During the Spanish colonial period, priests were supported by the Spanish king, and they often became involved in political issues. Sedeia became the acting pastor of the St. Louis Cathedral in 1785, but he had disagreements with other priests and some political officials. A fellow priest convinced Governor Esteban Miro to send Sedeia back to Spain to face charges of misconduct. Like Bienville before him, Sedeia spent several years gathering evidence and defending his conduct. His efforts paid off. He was cleared of all charges and was allowed to return to Louisiana in 1795. Sedeia, whom many people called Père or Father Antoine, returned just as disagreements about who controlled access to the Mississippi River were causing tensions between Spain and the United States. Spain closed docks and warehouses to American traders several times before 1803. The United States realized how important the river and the port at New Orleans had become to its citizens. In 1795, the United States and Spain signed a 3-year treaty ensuring American access to the port of New Orleans. The Spanish closed the river to U.S. shipping again in 1802, so President Thomas Jefferson decided to take action. His determination and some unforeseen international events allowed the United States to purchase Louisiana in 1803. The purchase of Louisiana by the United States meant different things to different people. The priests and nuns who served Spain faced enormous uncertainty. More than half of them returned to Spain or Cuba in 1803. Sedeia decided to stay, but had to swear an oath of loyalty to the United States in 1806. Louisiana changed dramatically over the next 3 decades, but the Spanish-born priest retained the loyalty and affection of his congregation and the respect of the city's inhabitants, no matter their faith. Sedeia served as pastor at the St. Louis Cathedral until his death in 1829. When he died at the age of 81, local newspapers were filled with accounts of his well-attended funeral procession. The state legislature and courts adjourned for the day, and the city's theaters canceled performances. The New Orleans Courier reported that the city declared a holiday and the population marched en masse as a group in the funeral procession. Père Antoine's journey from controversial Spanish priest to a figure beloved by New Orleanians of all backgrounds and religions suggests something about how much Louisiana changed in the years between 1795 and 1829. During those years, Louisiana transformed from a colony into a territory and, finally, into an American state. In this chapter, we will consider how international events and concerns about access to the Mississippi River led to the largest real estate transaction in U.S. history. We will explore the aftermath of that transaction, the territorial period that followed, and the unrest that characterized it. Finally, we will look at the earliest years of statehood and the decisive role New Orleans played in the War of 1812. Section 1. The United States Purchases Louisiana. As you read, look for the value of Pinckney's treaty to those who use the Mississippi River for transportation and trade, how Napoleon's failure to regain control of Saint-Domingue led to his sale of Louisiana to the United States, the orderly transfer of Louisiana from Spain to France to the United States, the importance of the Louisiana Purchase to our young nation, terms, Pinckney's Treaty, Abolition, Treaty of San Ildefonso, Louisiana Purchase, Adams-O'Neill's Treaty. Migrants of English descent began coming to Louisiana in larger numbers after 1787. Even those who did not settle permanently in Louisiana began to depend on the Mississippi River as a transportation route for the goods they grew and produced. The Americans and the Spanish disagreed about the borders that separated Spain and the United States. The Spanish were also sometimes uncooperative with U.S. citizens who wanted to use the port at New Orleans. Frontier settlers floated downriver toward New Orleans on barges filled with goods from upriver states like Kentucky and Tennessee. These traders had to offload their barges and boats and find other ships willing to carry their cargo out into the Gulf and from there to Europe, the Caribbean, or ports along the east coast of the United States. Pinckney's Treaty. By the early 1790s, it was clear to the U.S. government that the Mississippi River was an essential trade route for Americans, but a formal agreement with Spain took years to achieve. In 1795, U.S. Representative Thomas Pinckney successfully negotiated a treaty that bears his name. Pinckney's treaty gave the nation much of what it wanted, including the right for Americans to trade and deposit goods in New Orleans. The terms were to be renegotiated after 3 years. The Spanish attempted to close the river to American traders one final time in 1802, but international events ruined this last attempt to control the Mississippi. This action also pushed events in Louisiana toward a surprising conclusion. International events and intrigue. The French Revolution and the slave revolt in Saint-Domingue had begun in 1789 and 1791, respectively. By 1794, France had abolished slavery both at home and in its colonies, including in Saint-Domingue, but fighting continued in both places. France was engaged in numerous wars for much of the next two decades. The chaos changed borders in Europe and also led to the rise of an ambitious military leader. Napoleon Bonaparte was born on the island of Corsica and became head of the French army in Italy. He won many prominent battles and became well known. Because of his fame as a military leader and his audacity, boldness, daring as a political one, Napoleon became first consul of France in 1799. By 1802, he was named consul for life. This, however, did not diminish his ambition to control as much territory as possible. Because Napoleon's ambitions were so large, he needed huge sums of money to pay for his military campaigns. One of his plans included regaining control of the former French colony of Saint-Domingue. Before the slave revolution began, Saint-Domingue had been one of France's most valuable colonial possessions. Despite the abolition, official ending of slavery by France in 1794, Napoleon planned to reestablish slavery on the island and put the former slaves back to work on sugar and coffee plantations. He would use the profits to pay for his military campaigns. Napoleon also wished to reestablish control over Louisiana. In his plans, Louisiana and the trade on the Mississippi River would serve as a supply depot for Saint-Domingue. This part of his vision required that he convince Spain to return Louisiana to France. France made a secret agreement with the Spanish king in 1800. The terms of the transfer were spelled out in the Treaty of San Ildefonso. After 2 years of negotiations, the final agreement was reached in 1802. As part of the agreement, Spain believed France had promised not to transfer Louisiana to any other power before offering it back to Spain first. Shortly after getting possession of Louisiana, Napoleon sent more than 30,000 soldiers to Saint-Domingue to initiate his plans of ending the slave revolt and reestablishing slavery. Events worked against his scheme. Within weeks of arrival on the island, more than 80% of Napoleon's soldiers were dead, most of them from disease rather than fighting. With this disastrous turn of events, Napoleon realized his plan to regain control of Saint-Domingue had failed. Under the circumstances, he decided he no longer benefited from possession of Louisiana. The Louisiana Purchase. Since the late 1790s, the United States had been keenly interested in establishing permanent access to the Mississippi River and the Port of New Orleans. Aware of the rumors of a transfer from Spain to France, President Thomas Jefferson sent James Monroe to join the American ambassador to France, Robert Livingston. Their orders were to negotiate for the purchase of New Orleans. A surprising offer. Both men were shocked in early 1803 when they were offered the opportunity to purchase not just New Orleans, but all of Louisiana. They had no orders authorizing such a massive purchase. Given the slow pace of transatlantic communication, they had no ability to ask for and receive permission in a timely fashion. Monroe and Livingston took a chance and went far beyond their orders. They accepted the offer to purchase all of Louisiana and negotiated a price of $15 million. An agreement was reached in early May. When they asked for clarification about the actual borders of the area they had purchased, the French foreign minister advised Monroe and Livingston only that, "You have made a noble bargain for yourselves. I am sure you will make the most of it." The treaty. Events moved rapidly after this. The terms of the treaty were sent to Washington, D.C. for approval. President Jefferson was aware there was no constitutional authority for such an act, but he felt it was in the growing nation's interest to take this step. In order to avoid a long, drawn-out debate, Jefferson pushed for quick ratification or approval of the terms. He was able to achieve this, and the U.S. Senate ratified the treaty for the Louisiana Purchase on October 19, 1803. Two transfers. Two transfers had to take place at New Orleans to finalize the process. First, the Spanish transferred Louisiana to Napoleon's representative in New Orleans on November 30, 1803. Pierre Clément de Lauzet had been sent from France with the understanding that he would take over as governor of the colony once Napoleon gained control. Because of the Louisiana Purchase, Lauzet governed Louisiana for only 3 weeks. He transferred Louisiana to the United States in a ceremony in the Cabildo on December 20, 1803. Although no one yet knew it for certain, with that transfer, a new era in the nation's history had begun. The territory. At the time, however, several important issues remained to be settled. Before the purchase, the territory of the United States included approximately 434 million acres of land. President Jefferson estimated that the area purchased in 1803 would add about 500 million acres. He was almost right. The Adams-Onis Treaty, signed in 1819, specified how much land the Louisiana Purchase added to the United States. The final treaty made clear that the historic events of 1803 more than doubled the size of the country, adding 530 million acres to the nation's territory. Ultimately, those lands would make up all or part of 15 states. After all of the interest was paid on the $15 million loan, the United States paid $23,537,872 for Louisiana, amounting to approximately 4 cents an acre, a noble bargain indeed. Despite its impressive size, the Louisiana Purchase was more than just a large real estate deal. In 1803, the United States was a small and very young nation. With the stroke of several pens, it became a potential world power. It was also extraordinary that, in the context of so much ongoing warfare in Europe and the Caribbean, Louisiana changed hands peacefully and rapidly, from Spain to France to the United States, all in less than 1 year. Its transformation into an American state would take 9 more years to accomplish.